Good morning. To say that I'm nervous is just a bit of an understatement. Today, we are sharing our journey with you for two reasons. One is because I told the Lord a million times in prayer, if he could do the miracle that we are going to share with you today, then I would declare it for his glory. And James asked, and we said yes. And two, because the church needs to talk more openly about mental illness, its impact on the family, and on how the church can help. She knows me well. All of our family but one is here today, supporting us. Steve and I married in the winter of 1982. We were two very broken souls in desperate need of healing. We just didn't know it. I came from a background of having to be responsible at a young age for my siblings in a highly dysfunctional, emotionally and mentally abusive family. I had also had the added baggage of sexual abuse in my background. Steve came from an overprotective, fearful, very sheltered home with a lack of affection. It was a perfect match. I was trained to take care and take responsibility, and Steve needed someone to lean on. It really was a perfect storm waiting to happen.
So we had a lot of crisis and up and down over the first 10 years of our marriage to negotiate through. And in the winter of 1992, I had my first big bout of depression. And we know that I've always lived in low levels of depression, and I sunk even deeper when life went out of control. I climbed into a deep, dark hole and was unreachable. Slowly, with counseling, I worked my way through that. During this time, I didn't understand why this was happening. But the Lord had given me a vision of a tunnel with a light at the end of it. It was just a long, dark tunnel. And I knew that the light at the other end was coming from Jesus. I knew I had to go through that dark tunnel, but when it came out the other end, that I'd be better off for it. So for the next 20 years, I battled off and on with depression and hopelessness. Each time I was depressed, the bout lasted longer and was deeper. I was unhappy with life, self-focused, controlling, hopeless, and angry. I had no joy in anything. I never lost sight, though, of the vision that the Lord had given me with the tunnel, even in my most recent depression.
Over this time, I struggled because Steve was just unable to invest in our relationship at all. And I struggled a few times with staying in our marriage. I felt like a solo parent. During my kids, my kids didn't have their father for most of their teen years because Steve was just so depressed he couldn't hardly function. The pain and difficulty we lived in was palpable. Each of my kids went through their own struggles over the difficulty we lived in, and everyone supports and prays for the depressed person, but rarely do people realize the impact on the family.
So in 2002, a conflict happened in our church that we were caught in the middle of. And because of my own wounding and that, it just sort of fed into that. And I just plunged into the deepest depressive state that I've ever had. I had died emotionally. I just felt like a dead man walking, just a shell, an empty shell. We had no idea at this time that it would last for 12 years and would devastate Teresa and myself, and it would have a negative impact on our kids. I was totally unaware. Even though I didn't understand what was going on and why I was going through this, I still never lost my faith. I kept my eyes on Jesus because I knew that that was the only way that I would be healed. A verse that I thought of quite often came from Isaiah 42, verse 3, where he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out.
During this last depression, a friend of ours, Rob, from our former church, offered to take Steve to the hospital to check him into the psych ward. I declined. I was in such a state of denial, and I was terrified at the same time of what that really meant for our family. Years of medication and therapy followed, which seemed to make only minor changes. Our marriage, what was left of it at this point, was falling apart rapidly. In 2004, I saw a counselor and asked if I should leave. She just said if I stayed, I had to do everything in my power to protect and build into my kids. So that's what I did. The kids lived in a lot of tension, and I spent all my energy trying to pour into them to protect them from Steve's depression and from the abuse that came, because Steve was very angry in this last bout. In 2006, I met with two friends, Elaine, who has since gone to be with the Lord, and Joyce, who is here, for 1 year to pray over my marriage in an effort to save it. And my attitude did improve, but Steve did not. I struggled with God. Where are you? Don't you see what's happening, and why aren't you coming to our rescue? In hindsight, he didn't make it go away, but he sent an army of people to walk alongside us. Bob came alongside to teach Steve how to play because he didn't know how to play. Rob offered to take him to the hospital. I missed that one. Pastor George and Pastor Graham prayed over me endlessly and over our family and listened to my heart and encouraged us. Pastor Craig and Stacy at family camp in Stainer saw our brokenness and were willing to talk and pray with us year after year at each summer camp. God also gave me girls, my girls, who prayed with me and for me and Steve and our whole family. Joyce, Irene, my mom, who is here, and five other women were like Aaron holding Moses' arms up through daily prayer and support. Countless others walked alongside our kids and family. We would not be here were it not for their faithfulness and for their prayers. Worship, the word, and prayer were my literal lifelines. I immersed myself in them every moment to find strength. I declared truth daily, that God would restore that which the locusts had eaten from Joel. I also prayed that God would turn the hearts of the sons to the father and fathers to the sons from Malachi. And I declared God's truth over my family and my life, and that God's sustaining power would carry us. And in the summer of 2008, I thought maybe, just maybe, things were improving.
So in 2008, I thought I didn't need my medication anymore, and I quit without telling anyone. At first, I thought everything was going well, but others noticed I became even more angry, controlling, antagonistic, hopeless, etc. I ended up seeing a psychiatrist and went on two different medications, which I'm still on today. Around this time, we discovered that I not only struggled with depression, but also with dissociative disorder as well as attachment disorder. This helped to explain why I can't remember what I was like or how I behaved during this time. I just needed to take Teresa's word for how I behaved and accept that. The new medication slowly helped me to think more clearly and be able to start to heal. My counselor also stated that given how unwell mentally and emotionally I was, that it was a miracle that I could even run a business, much less a successful business.
We had all lived those 12 years like we were walking on glass, broken glass. In the summer of 2008, I determined I could not live with it anymore. I felt close to cracking myself, like I needed to just check myself into Homewood. And the kids were struggling, and they kept asking me to make all the tension stop. And I couldn't make any of it stop. I sought pastoral counsel, I prayed extensively, and I sought advice from others. And I got support to leave, and I prepped my resume, I changed things at the bank, and I was looking for housing. I was getting everything in order to leave, and I wasn't looking for a divorce. I just needed to get away from the intense stress. At this time, we took Rebecca to Manitoba for 8 months. At the time we dropped her off, I was sure she would not come home to things as usual. I had planned to be moved by then. I went through a few incidents with Steve emotionally that have left me with post-traumatic stress disorder. We were dealing with a triple whammy, not just depression, and all of it was very difficult to overcome. I began to pray for direction and guidance. I wanted God's leading on such a huge decision. I got an answer in the late fall of late 2008. With both boys dating and Rebecca away, all three kids told me in a 5-day span that they were really glad that they didn't come from a broken home. I had asked for a clear, concrete answer, and my kids gave it to me. I didn't have a clue how I was going to survive. I could barely breathe. The stress was so bad, and living in constant fight or flight was taking a toll on me physically. The very strong, very responsible, ever-ready bunny, which I was nicknamed, had completely fallen apart. I stayed out of obedience to the Lord and for the kids, but all of a sudden things were changing. Not only did I not have my marriage, but now we were beginning the process of empty nesting. And the very reason for me to get up every morning was slowly moving away. The kids were unaware of just how deep my struggle was, and Steve had no idea I was making plans to leave him. It wasn't until I got my own credit card that his counselor, who knew of my plans, told him to ask me why. Steve was shocked. He began to start to think about me and the kids, a very hard task for him. In 2010, Joyce and I went to a Beth Moore conference, and I believe that was a turning point in my heart. The conference was exactly what I needed, and she preached on Isaiah 53. And that became a place for me to ground myself. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, am your Savior."
During 2011 till 2015, we were not only in individual counseling, but in couples counseling. And it was very costly, but God did provide. We also met with Pastor Lloyd Fretz and his wife Marie for prayer, ministry, and mentoring. The Lord revealed to Lloyd some of the roots of my emotional wounds, which we were able to then pray through. That made a huge difference. During this time, we were working very hard on our marriage. It was really nothing left. So we first had to forgive one another and then pray for the Lord to do a miracle. This was a God-only situation. We and our counselors were not even sure our marriage could be saved. Our therapist said that it would truly be a miracle if we made it. They both said they have never personally seen a marriage come back from this level of brokenness. My counselor said that after forgiveness, we needed to start to like each other and then learn to play in the sandbox beside each other and then play and enjoy each other's company and then eventually fall in love. So we took one day at a time with lots of prayer, a lot of honesty, and that's how we got through it.
I had an army of people praying, like I said, and we had to fight hard and work hard to get to know each other and start dating again after 30 years of marriage. In the fall of 2014, we came to check out Trinity, and this is where the miracle started. From the moment we walked in the door, Steve was different. He didn't have an anxiety attack. He wasn't glued to my side out of fear. He talked to people. He didn't run to the car. And he went by himself to talk to Nick, who was the preacher that day. I sat stunned. Each time we visited, Steve began to change and do things he had not done in years. He was unaware of it. And some things he had never done. We finally switched churches, and God has been miraculously healing Steve ever since. During those first few months, I sat back and watched the Spirit of the Lord heal my husband. I was often moved to tears as I watched Steve change week by week. John Galbraith, where are you? John Galbraith saw me cry a few times those first few months. He assumed that Steve was the outgoing one because he was talking to people, and I was shy. And I was shy sitting in chairs off to the side crying. So he was trying to teach me how to introduce myself to people and introducing me to people. And I'm like, you just don't get it. I'm just watching my husband. The thing was, is I was watching a miracle every single week unfold, and nobody knew it was even occurring. They thought Steve had always been this way. Even now, God is still continuing to heal. Steve, as you, the church, may not even see it, but we do. A couple weeks ago, he did something in church, and Rebecca looked at me, and she goes, that's a miracle, and nobody knows it. He began to see my needs and the needs of his family. He began to understand how to show love, and he had more peace. And over our 3 years here, God has been setting Steve free from the inside out and restoring me from the years of living in turmoil. This has helped immensely in our journey to restore our family and to heal our marriage and to heal Steve's relationship with our kids. I prayed for years that the Lord would turn the hearts of the sons to the Father and the fathers to the sons, and now I'm seeing that being answered.
One thing that could not be worked through in counseling was how to love, and that's one thing that I really lacked growing up. My counselor said that love had to be caught, not taught. It was hard to find people to gather around and be with, because everybody is so busy. And so when I first came to Trinity, I could sense God's love filling this place the moment I walked in the door. It's like all the fear and anxiety just fell off at the door. I was immediately relaxed and at ease. The first time we came, Nick was preaching, and in his sermon, he had summed up the last 15 years of my life. I could tell that he understood depression, which is a rare thing to find in a church. So I started attending Wednesday night prayer. During this time, the Spirit of the Lord really ministered to me and brought more healing. During worship on Wednesday nights, God was helping me to worship him more freely. I experienced joy for the first time in my life at Wednesday night prayer meeting. Prior to that, I never knew what joy felt like. So we've made it this far. We're in the best place in our marriage that we've ever been. And a miracle did happen and is continuing to happen. Not only a miracle for us, but also for our whole family, because God is healing my relationship with the kids and restoring that which the locusts have eaten. God has loved us through this journey, and he has answered many prayers. And we believe that healing is a result of people who have stood with us and prayed. It was a God-only situation. Our counselor also told me that Jesus has experienced every emotion that we experience. And after I thought about that, it made sense, because when I was really dark and lonely, I thought of Jesus when he was on the cross, how his disciples abandoned him, and he was in a lonely place. So Jesus understands that, and he provided the way to the Heavenly Father, which the more I got healed, the closer I felt to him. And so he truly is a good, good father.
I just want to encourage you, if you are in a place of struggle, you need to surround yourself with people who pray. Because apart from God, there is no healing. And God has carried us and sustained us and grown us and transformed us and changed us, and he's not done yet. And I am so incredibly thankful to worship my Savior.